You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
I further urge all members of the other side of the aisle to provide Judge Barrett with the respectful and dignified hearing that she deserves, and frankly, that our country deserves. I urge lawmakers and members of the media to refrain from personal or partisan attacks, and the stakes for our country are incredibly high.
September the 28th, 2020, the words of President Trump from the other day, Saturday, when he announced Judge Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court as his nomination. And right ahead of him, you heard Michael Buffer saying, let's get ready to rumble. Oh, it's going to be one big wild fight. And the debate isn't even tonight. It's tomorrow night. And it's already starting. They are going to go after this woman, a Catholic mother of children, two adopted, and they're going to do whatever they can to gut her on the Senate floor. I want you to stop and think about that for a moment. Do I hear the left proclaim all the time we're all about women and equality and their rights and getting ahead and breaking through the glass ceiling? Now, of course, she will not be the first woman going to the Supreme Court. And is her Catholicism, is that big of an issue? It will be for the Democrats. But even Nancy Pelosi is saying, let's don't make religion the issue. Many of her colleagues on the left are not listening to Nancy, haven't been for some time. The fight is on. It is on. And we, over the next few weeks running up to this election, between the nomination and the process, and how you're voting, and mail-in balloting or voting in person, if you haven't voted, you make sure you plan to do so and do it early if you can. I was asked the other day, someone said, I got a mail-in application, or I got a mail-in ballot. Should I mail it in? I said, I would not mail it in. I would take it and directly hand it over to Election Bureau officials. And hopefully, it will be properly processed. Of course, you are not supposed to go into a voting area wearing any kind of campaign item, so don't be wearing a MAGA hat for two reasons. One, that's violation of campaign regs, and two, your ballot might go into the nearest file, which might be that round cylinder at their feet. I'm not saying that all election commissioners and board and watchers and those who are approved and supposed to be doing this are going to be cheating. I do not say that at all, but we have seen enough of it already in several areas, haven't we? We got a couple of experts coming up over the next 2 hours. Zach Smith from the Heritage Foundation, expert on the SCOTUS. And we're going to talk about the process, the time. How fast can they get Amy Coney Barrett confirmed? Could it be even before the election, much less before the end of the year? And then we're going to be joined by Giancarlo Canapero, writing for the Daily Signal on an article on some of the attack plans the Dems will launch. And already we're seeing some little shell shifting. They're trying to find, pay attention over here, look over here, look over what the New York Times says. We have his taxes, proving he paid only $750 in federal taxes over 2 years. Trump and the White House response is, first of all, it's fake news. Secondly, you won't let us see the actual documents you have, so we're not even sure you have them. And third point, if you got their taxes, a private individual's taxes, even if he is the president, is that legal? I have some big questions. And Trump is even suggesting that the New York Times just simply made it up. He's also talking about maybe Biden should take a drug test before the debate. I told you, this is going to be really good. Had one of our listeners the other day send me an email and said, tomorrow night, I'm going to count myself in front of the TV and I would have some popcorn, except I got diverticulitis. I can't do that. I said, well, I suggest you get a fifth of Jack, and you might need more than that. Let your family and friends know we're on the air. Spread the word quickly. Because when we come back after this commercial break, we are going to be rocking for the next 2 hours. You don't want to miss any of it. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
We are slowly returning to normal as we knew life before COVID. Still, you need to be cautious. Make sure your business, school, place of worship are safe. Now, that's where Wellington Environmental can help. You can schedule professional fogging or deep cleaning with just a phone call. I'll give you a number. But first, you should know Wellington Environmental now offers fogging equipment you can use. These individual units are in high demand. Wellington has them available for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. Save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional fogging, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Some folks are born, made to wave the flag, cool the red, white, and blue. And when the band plays, hail to the chief, pull that point the cannon at you. Now, it ain't me, it ain't me, I ain't no senator.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
No one better to do that than Amy Coney Barrett. Law and order is the foundation of the American system of justice. No matter the issue, no matter the case before her, I am supremely confident that Judge Barrett will issue rulings based solely upon a fair reading of the law. She will defend the sacred principle of equal justice for citizens of every race, color, religion, and creed. Congratulations again to Judge Barrett. I know that you will make our country very, very proud.
Again, the words of President Trump from Saturday as he announced the his nomination to replace Scalia, Amy Coney Barrett. She's been on the Seventh Court of Appeals, confirmed just 11 months ago. So she's just recently been through this process. But, of course, that was going for a federal judgeship, not the U.S. Constitution Supreme Court. Of course, it's all under the U.S. Constitution, but not they did not. This is going to be an entirely different game as far as the Democrats are concerned. So she's a circuit judge on the U.S. Court of Appeals, Seventh Circuit. Now this guy named Trump wants to nominate her and make her Scalia's replacement. And, of course, we've already seen the reaction from the left. They've already been talking about we're going to stack the court when we get in control again. When we get control of the House, get control of the Senate and the White House, we will begin to expand the number of judges on the Supreme Court. And they can do that. There's no limit. And, of course, they are also talking about how they want to change constitutional law as to how many times a president can nominate someone to the Supreme Court. This will make the third nominee that Donald Trump has put forth. Gorsuch, and then to replace Scalia, the Kavanaugh. And boy, you saw how bad and nasty that got. It's going to do the same this time around. And their target this time will be a woman. You think that would detract them, back them down? I would not count on that. When we see how members of the left will attack even someone reference race if they support Donald Trump, gender certainly isn't going to stop them either. Amy Coney Barrett married her Notre Dame Law School graduate, fellow law school graduate, in South Bend, Indiana, 1999. They live in South Bend. They have seven children, two of them adopted from Haiti, one in 2005, one after the 2010 Haiti earthquake. And their youngest biological child, apparently, diagnosed with Down syndrome during a prenatal screening. She chose to keep the child. She is a Catholic. She is against abortion. And that's where we're going to find a lot of the issues in the fight as well, because they are afraid that she will clearly be moving the court to overturn Roe v. Wade. And you'll hear them say all the time they're going to take away a woman's right to have an abortion. What they're going to do is remove federal law regarding it and let the states make their own decisions. Let me let you hear just the few opening remarks from Judge Amy Coney Barrett Saturday after the president introduced her.
I fully understand that this is a momentous decision for a president. And if the Senate does me the honor of confirming me, I pledge to discharge the responsibilities of this job to the very best of my ability. I love the United States, and I love the United States Constitution.
And that's what we want, someone who loves our Constitution. She also acknowledges that a judge on the Supreme Court is not there to rewrite the Constitution or to rewrite laws or to make laws. Which brings us to the other big issue and concern, and the bell they'll be ringing on the Democrat side is, they're going to destroy all your health plans. You will die because they're going to destroy Obamacare totally. Because a new challenge will come up with Obamacare, and when it went through previously, a Republican appointee, Supreme Court Justice Roberts, went along to help make sure that it was declared constitutional. And yeah, they'll be looking to overturn that, and it's certainly because on the point being, appropriations issues come through the House, which is exactly what the Obamacare issue was. But we'll get into more detail on that as we go into it. The fight itself, though, and what they'll be trying to do, they will hold back nothing. They have everything at their disposal. They have numerous previous rulings she's made. Obviously, they'll be bringing those out as well. But to get an idea of exactly some of the tactic they will employ, here's Senator Mike Braun, Republican, Indiana.
Here, they're going to focus, in my opinion, on what might happen policy-wise with her point of view. And I think that's tricky as well because of how much credibility she has in terms of her judicial acuity and her opinions over time. So I think it's a similar in the sense of the political risks in the approach that they take. But I think you're dealing with a situation with Amy that's going to make it much tougher for them to pull the same shenanigans they did 2 years ago.
He's talking about the Kavanaugh hearings. When they suddenly had witnesses coming from everywhere claiming that Kavanaugh was part of a date rape group at a college. Remember that? There was never any proof. But yet, during his confirmation hearings with his wife and children sitting behind him, they were basically accusing him of being a serial rapist. Well, where will they find some Achilles heel they can go after Barrett? Let me read something for you from the National Public Radio, a piece that they did. Here's what they wrote about it. Trump's nomination of Judge Amy Coney Barrett to fill the Supreme Court, made vacant by the death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, is seen as a home run for conservatives. A chance to move the high court in a far more aggressively conservative direction for generations. In political terms, Barrett is the dream candidate for conservative Republicans and the nightmare candidate for Democrats. For Republicans, the 48-year-old is a young and personally unassailable nominee. A devout Catholic, mother of seven, including a child with Down syndrome, and two children adopted from Haiti. Her students at Notre Dame Law School, where she taught for 15 years, voted her best professor three times, and she still teaches part-time at the school. And some of her previous rulings, of course, are the things that shape not only her rulings and her law, but her life. They say if you talk to some of the students, the thing that stands out to them is that she really makes an effort to get to know them, help them, understand them, including she went an extra mile for a blind student to make sure the computer software would help her access law books and other legal format material in a format she needed. The blind student said, Barrett was told about it, and she said, I can take this absolutely off your plate. And she immediately got the law school to quickly purchase needed software. You might ask, how does she do all this? Well, this NPR article points this out. This is very interesting. She starts most days at the gym at 4 a.m., my God, how does a woman do that? Because the appeals court, of course, meets in Chicago. She commutes regularly, driving an hour and 45 minutes to get there from South Bend. That's where they want to raise their family, not in Chicago. So she puts up with that drive into Chicago. She has in the past criticized the Supreme Court's 5-4 and 6-3 decisions upholding key sections of Obamacare. And as I said earlier, both written by conservative Chief Justice John Roberts. In an interview with NPR in 2015, Barrett said, in her view, quote, the dissenters had the better of the argument. And yes, she will be one of those that they will bring up Roe v. Wade again, see what she would do about it. And of course, Joe Biden says, no, Trump should not be doing this now. And I will take you back, and I'll remind you. When Obama was trying to get Merrick Garland appointed, nominated, the Democrats controlled the White House, Republicans controlled the Senate, and the Senate would not even give Garland a hearing, which would have been the best option. Bring him up, do the hearing, and in the end, vote him down anyway. But they wanted to wait until the next president was elected because Obama was not going to be able to serve due to term limits. I said then that I thought, yes, it should go with the next president. I don't want to have it decided by one who's leaving. I have the same opinion now. I don't change my opinion simply because of political winds. I still would prefer to see the nomination come after Trump's reelected, but if he's not reelected, then you're going to have to give it to the Democrats. But there is a difference between now and then. This time we have the Senate controlling are controlled by Republicans, and as is the House. I'm sorry, the White House. So it is a different situation. And yeah, I don't want to see us lose a chance to make another appointment. So I'm not fighting against what they want to do. I'm just telling you that I still believe really it should be done by the next president, because we are now 40 days or so out from the election, as opposed to when we were when Obama was pushing Merrick Garland. And I said then that should be held off. Of course, Joe Biden is still saying, yeah, Trump should not do anything at this point.
If the people choose Donald Trump, then the Senate should give his nominee a hearing and a vote. If the people do not choose Trump and choose me, President Trump's nomination should be withdrawn. I should nominate.
Of course, and I understand that. He wants that opportunity, and the liberals are incensed. I had a listener send a very good email, which I shared with the audience last week, that said, really, Ruth Bader Ginsburg created this chaos. Obama was really urging her to step aside so he could make the appointment at that point when he was still president, but she wouldn't do it. So if there is chaos and anger and gnashing of teeth and setting hair on fire, yeah, it could fall back on Ruth Bader Ginsburg's decision to stay as long as possible. And, of course, the mainstream media is also pushing the fact that even if Trump loses the election, he will not give up the office. We will see a coup carried out by this president to make sure he stays president. Listen to this coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Will you commit to making sure that there is a peaceful transferal of power after the election?
Well, we're going to have to see what happens. You know that I've been complaining very strongly about the ballots, and the ballots are a disaster. Get rid of the ballots and you'll have a very peaceful, there won't be a transfer, frankly. There'll be a continuation.
What the president is doing here is the most explicit that he has been about his plans for this election. He's plotting in open and public repeatedly a coup to steal the election and hold on to power.
He's telling us that he's going to have to try to overturn the results of this Democratic election because he knows he's going to lose.
Well, that's Joe Scarborough at the end, and also Chris Hayes ahead of them. They're all saying Trump is going to fight. He will not leave the office. He will not leave. And remember during the debates with Hillary and Trump. And they were asked not in one debate, but two different debates. Will you accept the results? And Trump said, well, I don't know. Let's see. If I win, I will. But if not, I might challenge, which is a legal right. And Hillary is saying, oh, no, no, I'll accept the verdict and the will of the people. Has she accepted it? Well, of course not. And the battle lines, while they're being drawn over the nomination of Judge Amy Coney Barrett, now they're pulling out anything else they can come up with. That it's no small coinkydinky that the New York Times today had reported over the weekend, I should say, that they have looked at his taxes, Trump's taxes, for 10 of the past 15 years and found he paid no federal income tax. At the most, he paid at one point was $750 the year he was elected, and $750 the first year in office. Trump did not disclose his taxes as every presidential candidate had done previously. And I will tell you again, I said at that time he should. He should go ahead and do it. His reasoning, explanation, excuse, however you want to classify it, I'm under constant audit, and it's pretty hard to get all this together, and I can't do it right now. I disagreed then. I'm not expert in tax law by far, but I still said, I know he could release some. I'm sure he could, and I talked to others who said he could, even if he's under audit. But it got to the point then where they were just going to make a, they were going to build on that as if it were a true criminal conspiracy thing. And finally I reached a point, fine, don't give them a damn thing. You don't have to. But now the New York Times claims we have these documents. But apparently when the White House said, well, let us take a look and see what you got, they wouldn't show it to them. Well, show us your source material. They won't do it. So the response from the White House and the president is fake. You don't really have it. You may have someone making notes who claims, but you don't. And if you do have a citizen's IRS information, that would probably be illegal that you got it. So maybe they don't want to do anything about that. And, of course, the Times is all over this story, but what have they done about the Hunter Biden scandals? The Hunter Biden scandal showing that his business involvements in Russia, Ukraine, and China while his father was vice president. I'm not even getting into the prostitution and sex trafficking he might be involved in. We'll take a break when we come back. Zach Smith of the Heritage Foundation is going to join us. We're going to lay out the timetable for the nomination process, how fast it can happen, and how he thinks it should proceed. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Oil smokes that lightning. Shining just like gold. Why don't you hear me cry? Ooh. Ooh.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My next guest has been with us several times before. Always glad to have him join us. Zach Smith with the Heritage Foundation, expert in constitutional law and the Supreme Court. Zach, welcome aboard again, sir.
Thanks so much for having me on, Larry. I really appreciate it.
Well, I'll tell you where I wanted to go down mostly with you. I've got another one of your colleagues coming up in the second hour talking about some of the attacks that we can expect. I'll want to give you a chance on that as well. But from you, I kind of want to get a timeline on how we can go forward. Now, three Supreme Court justices were confirmed in less than 45 days. That included Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So getting the confirmation before then, in fact, I'm seeing that they're looking at starting the hearings October 12th and maybe get it out and done, confirmed before November 3? Is that possible?
Well, look, I think Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, they've both committed to moving Judge Barrett through the confirmation process as quickly as possible. And, you know, you mentioned that the hearings will start on October 12th. That's Columbus Day, typically a federal holiday, a day that senators take off to go back to their district to do district work.
And campaigning for a lot of this time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So the fact that Mitch McConnell is willing to keep the Senate in session, willing to call senators back for that, really speaks to what a priority that both he and Lindsey Graham are making this. And if the timeline that Lindsey Graham has set out for the Judiciary Committee to hold the hearings, to allow the markups on Judge Barrett's confirmation to take place, it's possible that Judge Barrett could go to the floor for a full Senate vote by late October or early November. So there's both Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, they deserve a lot of credit for trying to move this nomination through the process as quickly as possible.
All right, that's their plan of what they want to do. The other side, what kind of wrenches can they throw into that machinery?
Well, I think they're certainly going to try to throw everything in the kitchen sink at this to try to stop it from taking place. You know, we heard last week Nancy Pelosi, AOC, talking about, you know, potentially trying to impeach Donald Trump again, impeach Bill Barr, trying to take a whole host of maneuvers. You know, the good thing is Mitch McConnell, he's an old hand at this. He's been around the block before, and he's well aware of the Senate's procedural mechanisms, the processes that he can use to kind of stymie those efforts. And so, you know, I expect roadblocks to be thrown up. you know, but I think Mitch McConnell will be well prepared to counteract those.
Okay. Does any particular procedural issue come to mind for you that they could use? I mean, of course, we've already seen Harry Reid came back to bite the Democrats with the nuclear option decision. Explain that, by the way.
Well, the nuclear option, you know, the filibuster where you have to, any senator can basically hold up debate on either a nominee or a piece of legislation and require basically two-thirds of the Senate to vote to invoke cloture, basically ending that filibuster, was something, a longstanding tradition in the Senate. Well, Harry Reid, he ended that for lower court judicial nominees. You know, Mitch McConnell, having seen that, you know, the other side was willing to, you know, go nuclear, as it's called, to end the filibuster for certain nominees, ended it for Supreme Court nominees as well. And, you know, there's talk now that if the Democrats retake control of the Senate, they would end it for everything, even for legislation. And that's really, it would be an escalation, an unfortunate escalation in things. But again, Mitch McConnell, you know, he's an old hand, and I think he'll be prepared to take appropriate actions.
Well, again, but still with the desire of the Republicans to actually get it out of committee on the floor, a vote ahead of November 3, that is not, I mean, we're September 28 today. That's not
right.
That impossible?
It's not impossible. You know, I think Lindsey Graham, the other Republican senators on the Judiciary Committee, and really all the Republican senators in the Republican conference will have to, you know, stick together and ensure that they're all on the same page to keep things moving forward as quickly as possible. You know, certainly Democratic senators will try to throw up roadblocks, procedural wrenches. But what would really derail the process is if any of the Republican senators started defecting or themselves pushing to delay the vote. And so far, it looks like the majority of the conference, except for, you know, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, you know, they've indicated either they're not going to vote for the nominee or hesitancy about moving forward right now. But hopefully the other Republican senators will all be on the same page and again, committed to getting Judge Barrett through the confirmation process quickly.
Let's go through a couple. You're listening to Zach Smith from the Heritage Foundation. Let's go through a couple of those. First of all, you mentioned Collins and Murkowski. Now, Murkowski, the last I saw the other day, she was not saying she would not be willing to vote. She just wanted to see who it was going to be, and that's before Trump nominated Coney Barrett. I haven't heard anything from her since. Have you, as to if that's the swaying point for her?
No. You know, she came out pretty strongly saying she didn't favor moving the process through as quick, you know, at this point with the election pending. But after, you know, Mitch McConnell, the other Republican senators made clear they were moving forward, she kind of walked back her earlier resistance and did exactly what you're saying, Larry. Said, you know, she's against moving forward with the process, but since the process is moving forward, she hasn't ruled out voting for whoever the nominee will be. So I'm hopeful, you know, after seeing Judge Barrett's qualifications, getting a chance to see Judge Barrett in the Judiciary Committee, that she will, you know, be persuaded by that and vote to confirm Judge Barrett to the Supreme Court.
Mitt Romney was going to be the other wild card, but he's indicated early that he's on board. I mean, do we buy that from him at this point?
Well, I'm hopeful that he will stay on board. That's certainly what he's indicated. And, you know, I certainly think President Trump deserves credit for nominating someone of Judge Barrett's caliber, because, frankly, it's really difficult, I would think, to oppose a nominee with her outstanding academic credentials, with her outstanding scholarship as a law professor at the University of Notre Dame, and then with her experience as a Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals judge. So in many ways, you know, Judge Barrett really is the complete package in terms of what senators would look for in a great Supreme Court candidate. And again, hopefully she'll be confirmed quickly.
And while we're on that, then the attack issues also, I mean, Kavanaugh has very personal attacks on him, as it was Gorsuch. Here we have a devout Catholic, mother of seven, including a child with Down syndrome, and two of the seven children they adopted from Haiti. I mean, how do you, that's mom and apple pie all wrapped up in one.
Well, you know, some of the attacks we've seen previews to or hints at so far are really troubling and disgusting, quite frankly. You know, some people have raised questions about, well, how can Judge Barrett be an effective Supreme Court justice when she has seven children at home? Some people have even gone so far as to question whether her two adopted children from Haiti were legally adopted. And, you know, it's really it's one thing to attack Judge Barrett's judicial philosophy, her ideology. It's something completely different to attack her family and question her, you know, the legality of her adoption. And so I hope everyone will take a deep breath, pause, and realize that that's inappropriate, that family is off limits. And if they don't, then all of us need to, really all of us who stand for decency, need to stand up, say that's inappropriate, and push back very aggressively against those types of attacks.
We tend to launch, or we tend to, I should say, put all of the Democrats in the same pot, and they're really not. I mean, there are those that are clearly not AOC bent, and they're maybe closer to Nancy, and yet they may not be even as far left as Nancy. And how are they going to handle this? Because some of them facing contested elections as well. So what's in it for them to go challenging and attacking a Catholic mother of seven children in addition to anything else she has on in front of her?
Well, I'm really hoping, you know, the other line of attack that's really been taken against Judge Barrett so far is trying to paint her as some type of religious fanatic, you know, making a case that her Catholic faith will override her legal judgments and that, you know, she'll try to impose some type of theocracy on us in the United States. And, you know, if you think back to Dianne Feinstein's questioning of Judge Barrett in 2017 when she was up for her Seventh Circuit judgeship, Dianne Feinstein told her, you know, the dogma lives loudly within you. And Dianne Feinstein told her she found that concerning. And so, you know, I hope that in addition to, you know, not attacking her personally, not attacking her family, I would hope that Democratic senators would be very careful about attacking her for her deeply held religious beliefs, attacking her for her faith, because Judge Barrett showed that in her judicial opinions and her scholarship, she's a judge who's committed to applying the Constitution and the laws as written and not, you know, legislating from the bench or imposing her own faith instead of, you know, simply interpreting the laws that are on the books.
All right. Well, Jack, I appreciate it. We'll probably be wanting to touch back with you as we move forward over the next few days and weeks.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Larry.
You bet. Jack Smith with Heritage Foundation. And speaking of some of the opposition already, left-wing groups such as Move On, Narrow Pro-Choice America, Sunrise Movement, they're all launching protests at courthouses across the nation, all to oppose the nomination of Barrett. And they started doing that, of course, some over the weekend. It's going to escalate. No, this is a big, big battle, clearly. And that's why the election of Donald Trump was so important when he was running against Hillary. When it came down to it, regardless of what you thought of the man, who did you want to be in position to appoint someone, nominate someone for the Supreme Court? That should still be center question for you as you go to the polls this time around. Do you want Biden to nominate someone for the Supreme Court? Second Amendment rights? Freedom of expression? You want to put that on the line? That's what you'd be doing. I got something else for you coming up in a moment.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I know you're enjoying listening, and I appreciate you telling others and getting them on board. I mean, I ran several people over the weekend saying they love the program. Some can listen live. Some have to listen to the podcast. They go up shortly after we finish each day. They go up at Larry Connors, USA Facebook, Larry Connors, USA Facebook. Or you can go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and put your name and registration down for your email. We don't sell any of our lists, and it will be delivered automatically to your mailbox as soon as it comes out. You don't have to look for it. It's dumped right in there. Very easy, free, and we don't sell the list. LarryConnorsUSA.com. But here's another reason you want to share and pass this around. You do know, of course, that Donald Trump had said the other day, maybe Biden should take a drug test. Maybe we should do a urine test before he gets on the stage. I told you before, Trump loves playing rope-a-dope with the media and the left. And, of course, this follows Biden talking to a black reporter at one point when the reporter had asked something about, do you think you should take some kind of cognitive test to prove you're capable of being president? And Biden shot back, hey, man, what do you mean, man? Did you take a crack test before you started doing the interview with me? He dared look right at a black reporter and mention that he might be on crack? Did the mainstream media go crazy over it? Oh, no, it's just Joe. And, of course, they're trying to make a big deal now out of Trump making that remark that, maybe we need a drug test. Joe Biden was asked about it at a news conference on Sunday. He said, what do you think about that Trump is demanding you take a drug test? He said, I have no comment. But now they have out a viral campaign, and the Biden campaign unloading, saying the president apparently believes the best case for his reelection could be, quote, made in urine. And they went on to say, if the president thinks his best case is made in urine, he can have it. And then adding, we expect nothing less from Donald Trump, who pissed away the chance to protect the lives of 200,000 Americans when he didn't make a plan to stop COVID-19. You do know, of course, the ones who were opposing Trump stopping flights from China were the Democrat Party, Pelosi, Biden, all of them calling him xenophobic. And then when he also stopped flight shortly after that out of Europe because some cases were coming through there, again, he was labeled, you're stupid, you're making bad decisions. And then they cry out he didn't do it fast enough. And now they want to say he's to blame for all 200,000 lives lost. Well, let's put some balance on the other side. Biden made this campaign, this claim back in October 2019 while in South Carolina. Joe Biden claimed that he had attended an historically black institution, Delaware State University. That's what he claimed. But the university has said, no, that's not true. Said Biden was never a student. He made appearances twice on campus for commencement speeches at the public university in Dover, one of the nation's historically black colleges and universities. But he did not attend, and yet Biden was saying in 2019, I attended one of the historically black colleges. You were on campus. I've been on the campus of Harvard. I guess I can say I'm a Harvard student, or Yale, or Annapolis. So I've been at West Point. Can I claim I'm a West Point grad? Just because I walked across the campus? In his 2007 biography, Promises to Keep, Biden never mentioned Delaware State University. But that was one of his claims. He had also made false claims about his academic record that really destroyed his first presidential campaign in 87. You might not remember it. Some of you might be a little young for that. But among other claims, in 87, he said he graduated in the top half of his law school class. Fact is, he graduated near the bottom. Well, maybe he was thinking, well, I get a trophy for participation, so I had to be there somewhere, right? That's what they would do, the left. But do you see the mainstream media attacking that, bringing it up? Do you see them pointing out that kind of stuff? No. Look away. Nothing to see here. But we'll mock Trump saying he should be taking a drug test, and also mock Trump on tax returns when the New York Times claims it has this stuff and yet really won't show the evidence it has. The documents won't show any of them. Not even to the White House staff. So do they really have them, or are they just making it up? We got a lot more to come up on the second hour dealing with this. We're going to be joined by another expert on the Supreme Court regarding the battle that's going to take place and the attack plans that will be launched by the left. The knives are being sharpened on both sides. You don't want to miss a single moment of it. So during this break, if your family and friends aren't listening, get hold of them. So you got to tune in right now, because this second hour, we're going to be focusing a lot on this attack strategy from the left. Coming up.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.